special guest with us. And again, if you need to look at some of the announcements, please look at your little white bulletins as to what's coming up. My wife, Erin, she's not here today. I let her take the morning off because she was at a pastor's wife's retreat. And she was exhausted yesterday. But she loved it. And I just want to say thank you, church. I know some of you don't know this, but thank you, church, for sending her to that. That was a massive blessing in her life. So thank you. And also, I don't normally do this, but coming, I believe it's Friday, and maybe Dave or Vicky, you can correct me on this, but, and I normally don't recommend stuff, but this Friday on YouTube, I'm going to butcher his last name, but Brett Medore from Athey Creek Community Church does a once a month prophecy update. It's one of the few that I endorse because he just lays it out. Very common sense, very just, this is what's going on. This is how it's connected to the Bible. And he's really good. He does it once a month, a prophecy update. I'd highly recommend, I believe it's on Friday he's doing it. It was last Friday. I'm that good. I prophesy backwards. Okay. But you can go on, you can go online and take a look at it. And he's pretty in tune with what's going on in the Middle East right now, but I would encourage you to take a look at that. Just moving forward, I just feel like we just need to skip some stuff I was going to say. I'm just going to have Lynn and Holly or Lynn or whoever, one of you two, come up here and just bring the word today. We're excited to have you in this house. You guys are friends of this house. And just open your ears and your hearts to them. Would you give them a big journey welcome as they come this morning?
Well, good morning. Good to see you all this morning. It's good to be back. I guess we were here in July, right? I think it was July, yeah. And we're just excited to be back. Some things have happened along the way since then. So just so you guys know, since we've been in this house many times and part of the staff here, I want to bring this out and make you aware just in case it doesn't look like I'm running and jumping as much. Just 2 months ago, 8 weeks ago, I just had my knee replaced. Yeah, so that's fun. How many of you have ever had total knee replacement? Yeah, the TKR, I like to say it because it just sounds cooler. And if you don't know much about it, yeah, it feels like you go into a wood shop, man, because they cut you wide open, they flail you, and then they take like power tools and they cut things out and then they scrape things away and then they drill. I'm serious, they get a Makita in there and they drill into your both bones and then they get a hammer. No doubt, a hammer, and they pound that thing, and then they take glue, and they glue you, and then they leave you flailed open, and for 15 minutes, they let you just sit there while the glue dries. Isn't that funny? And then they move you all around while you're out, and then they close you back up, and so that's where I'm at. 2 months ago, I had a wood shop happen in my knee, and so just in case you go, well, he doesn't look like he's jumping around and skipping as much, I just want to be sensitive because I don't want to enter the wood shop again. No, I'm trying to be careful. So even though it seems as if though I'll do that still, I just like to be, you know, especially for churches we visited before and they're like, maybe he's just not in the spirit as much because he's not jumping around. It's just because I had some time in the wood shop. So, but actually you could keep my mother-in-law in prayer as we're actually in Libby now, taking care of her because she had a total knee replacement of a replacement. So we're up there just caring for her. She just had that done last week and she's doing well. She had it done many, many years ago. And as you know, like 15 or 20 years ago, that's about as long as they lasted. What's cool now is they've done a lot to make it a lot better than it was before. And I mean, the glues they make now actually enhance bone and bone growth. And so she's doing really well. She couldn't be here. We set her all up with the remote control and her ice machine and drugs. Yeah, yeah. Thankfully, just so you know, I'm off the drugs. So if I say anything, it's actually in my sound mind that I'm saying that. I haven't been sneaking any of hers, by the way. So nonetheless, but it's good to be here this morning. Thank you, Pastor, for having us. I'm always thankful for your prayers for the ministry. Also, if you'd remember us, that God would just begin to open more and more doors. We have had some wonderful opportunities just recently. We were able to just go down to South Dakota just a couple weeks ago. We were at the Assemblies of God, all the pastors, their minister retreat, and we were their main speaker for the minister's retreat. And so we just are thankful that God's opened some of those doors, and we're believing that God's going to open some more doors, as well as now we'll be going into our season of the Feast of Tabernacles. And so we've got a whole section of time that we're going to be visiting different churches all around the state. And then we'll be making our way to my grandson. So, and being with my kids over in Minneapolis for a few months this winter. But also be praying for us, because we are going to the Middle East. We will be leaving in about 4 weeks. We're going to Israel. We've got a group that is just in it. They're with us. They want to go. So we will be doing some videos while we're over there showing you what you see on the news isn't real. So just so you guys know, I don't know if you knew that or not, but I just talked to my friend that lives over there, and it was the day that Iran just decided to throw a few nice messages to them through the air, and I just said, hey, I'm thinking about you, brother, hope all is well, and he just said, yeah, we spent about 20 minutes in our bomb shelter, and now we're just having dinner, you know. See, we can't live that way, so it's a little hard for us to understand. But then I texted him the next day, and I said, hey, just want to send some kind things to our group so that they're not, like, you know, tripping out that there's war and this and that. And he said, well, Lynn, I want you to know it's Rosh Hashanah. So I was wishing him happy Rosh Hashanah. Shana Tova is what you say during that season, that you'd be inscribed for a good year is how you say it during the Feast of Trumpets, because they believe that God is looking down on mankind this time of year, and he's judging your new year to come. So, Shana Tova to you, by the way. May you be inscribed for a good year coming up. May the Lord give you a good year. But I just said, you know, what should I tell the group as we're preparing to go? And he said, I just want you to know it's festival time, and the beaches are full, the restaurants are full, people are having everyday normal life here. You know, there is war, and we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the peace of his people and the protection, but I also want you to know that things are fairly normal there as well, as a lot of times all you see is that narrow spot of the smoke and the flames, but also be praying that this is resolved quickly and things get done quickly, and we don't know, it's quite possible that the Middle East will never be the same. Just to be honest with you, it's likely that the Middle East will never be the same. So I always joke about this. So just pray for us. There's a lot I could say about the Middle East, but I won't take time today. That's not what I'm here to talk about. But you could pray for our group. But we're also, many of us are going because we want to show solidarity. We want to be there when no one else will go. So we just want to go and be there. We believe, you know, that it'll all be well. But I always crack up because we're leaving on the 6th of November. I love that. The election will happen here. Chaos will probably happen, and we're out. So, just to get a little political, no one's winning this November, by the way. There's no winner this November, and so just as soon as the election is over, we're getting out of this country. And when things settle down a little bit, we'll come back. Sound like a plan? If you want to come with us, there's still room. So, so anyway, that's a whole nother story. Pastor has already prayed this morning for the word, and so I'm not going to do that because I believe pastors are far more spiritual than I am. Pastors are always more spiritual than evangelists. Okay, I'm glad some of you laughed at that. I want to get into the word today. Today I have the wonderful opportunity, I think I have it up on the screen. Today I'm talking about, you guys are in the middle of a series on looking at the Hebrew words of praise. And so Pastor assigned me to one, and it's the word tehillah. Everyone say tehillah. I like one guy said. He said, it's not tequila. And if you think that, it's far too early already this morning. It's tehillah. Everyone say tehillah. So I'm going to take this word today as are you guys going through all seven? Is that right? Yeah. So there's seven main words used to describe praise and worship, especially in the Old Testament. And today the pastor assigned me to talk a little bit about tehillah and what it means. There's just a few details that I want to talk about before we start reading some passages. It's kind of an interesting word. This one kind of isolates itself away from many of the others, and you'll see why in a moment. It's actually derived, will you be talking about the word hallel then?
We did 2 weeks
ago. Okay, so you talked about hallel, so I won't talk too much about that. But tehillah, its root word is hallel, and the pastor probably described a little bit about hallel, but hallel, if I had to break it down into just a small part, you know, that's where we get the word hallelujah. But the word hallel simply means to brag, declare, or announce. How many of you like to brag about the Lord? Right, so tehillah is simply, its root word is that, but it adds a whole nother reference to that. Now, if we break down what's really cool about, and I don't know how much you talked about this, but the word hallel, if we break it down a little bit more, its actual root word of that is the word to bring light. So how many of you know when you brag, declare, and ultimately announce, you are bringing light to something? Like shining light. So it's almost like this idea of telehim then is this announcer declaration bringing light to a situation. How many of you know there's something about when there's darkness you want to bring light, right? And so it's kind of like this idea that you're bringing light and announcing and declaring something. But there's this added dimension to telehim that's not like any other tehillah, any other word of the seven words of praise. So there's a couple different dimensions. One of them is tehillah actually is with singing, not with instruments. So this is actually something that isn't with instruments. This is actually singing. How many of you know you all have an instrument? And so tehillah actually has the dimension that you are singing this particular kind of praise, this kind of worship. And the other dimension to tehillah is spontaneity. How many of you love spontaneous action? How many of you like spontaneous combustion? You will in a few moments when you start your car, right? But how many of you love being spontaneous? You just love when things just happen. About 5 of you. That's about where I'm at too. But this dimension, this word, actually means spontaneous singing. I've got a video that kind of shows this, just to show you what spontaneous singing looks like. So let's look at that.
I'm singing, I'm in a store, and I'm singing. I'm in a store, and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Yes, there is.
No, it's not.
Let's play that one more time, at least the first part, because that's really good. Just before you do that, just pause that for a second. Let's stop it for a second. We're going to come back. How many of you, all of us could do this, right? No, so this is the best example, I think. How many of you love the movie Elf anyway? I mean, it's just tremendous. But I just thought this was the easiest way to kind of describe spontaneous singing. Let's do it again. Here we go.
I'm singing, I'm in a store, and I'm singing. I'm in a store, and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Yes, there is.
No, it's not.
How many of you know sometimes you have to do, yes, it is. Yes, there is. And so that's the best example I could possibly give for this idea of just spontaneous. Now, how many of you have ever heard the word telehim? Telehim. That's just the book of Psalms. So tehillah is just, so if I was to say tehillah, that's one. If you add the im on the end, that means many. So the book of Psalms in Hebrew, that's what it actually means. It's a group, it's a gathered collection of this spontaneous praise to God. And how many of you know when you look at the book of Psalms, that's essentially what it is? It's a collection of thoughts and ideas and praises to God that were a touch spontaneous. That's the word that they gave. Now, I want to look at something because I want to look at one that David put together that simply is listed just that. So I think we have it up on the screen. If we could just stand, and we're going to just say this one together. It comes from Psalm 145. Now, if you were to read the beginning of this, it kind of talks about this is like a tehillah of David. So this actual representation, this is the only one that this is said about in all of the book of Psalms, that he actually declares that this is a tehillah. This is like this spontaneous worship of God. So I thought, we're not going to read the whole thing. We'll read a little bit more at the end. But what I wanted to do is just say, what does it look like to play this out? Again, remember, David is an everyday normal person. Well, kind of. He also signifies the Messiah. But nonetheless, let's just think about this musician, this idea that this was what it would look like to praise God in a spontaneous moment, and he writes this down. And so let's see what David does. Let's read this together. We're just going to read about 8 verses. Let's read it all together out loud. Here we go. Ready? I will extol you. Before you sit, while you're still thinking about what David just did in tehillah to the Lord, what did you note in those verses? What was the main theme of those verses? Okay, the Lord, the character of the Lord, his traits, what else? What? Okay, love, another trait? His greatness. What's that?
Praise.
What's that?
Praise.
Praise. Yeah, he's just declaring it. Did you see what happened? Also, when you talk as that, like this praise, what is he doing? He's declaring the works of God.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? He's declaring the traits, but he's also declaring what he's already done.
Yeah.
And what he's already done, he's declaring, and then he comes away with the idea that as I do this, I see his traits. Look at who he is. One commentator said this, tehillah just simply makes the one that is the most important in the room famous. You're declaring and announcing what he's done. So David isn't saying anything new. He's declaring what he's done. He saw what he's done. And then he said, this is who he is. That's the simple way of tehillah. Just declaring who he is and what he's done. You may be seated, look at your neighbor and say, that is the tehillah. Look at your neighbor and say it. Listen to what Psalm 34, verse 1 says. I will praise the Lord, tehillah, the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak of his praises. I will praise the Lord at all times. Now, that spontaneity gets kind of the best of us, because if you think about this dimension of spontaneity, that kind of gets the best of us. Let's talk about that in a moment, but I want you to see one person that does this rather well. This is what we're going to do. Keep your word out today, because we're all over it today, multiple places, because we want to develop this idea of what that looks like. So the spontaneity of something that just begins to come out, I think somebody in the New Testament does this very well. Let's look at a character that does this very well. You'll catch it when I say the scripture reference. It's Luke chapter 1. Do you know who we're going to? Luke chapter 1. Who just all of a sudden just breaks out in a song? Come on, you guys know it. You're just afraid to say it. You're not being very spontaneous at all. Who breaks out in a song? Hey, Deborah does that. That was a good one. It's Mary. Remember Mary? In chapter 1, verse 46, remember, she shows up at her relative's house. Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, and the babe leaped in her womb, and the Holy Spirit came upon her. And then it says in verse 45, blessed is she who believed, for there'll be a fulfillment of those things which were told from the Lord. And then Mary said, listen to this, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. He has, listen to what she's doing. He has regarded the lowly state of the maid servant. What's she doing? She's declaring what he's done, what he's doing. And then it says, for behold, henceforth, for all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. What is she doing? She's making the person in the room the most famous by declaring it. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this word actually means it's something you're going to see because the person is going to declare it out loud. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, his attribute. And his mercy is on those that fear him from generation to generation. He's shown strength with his arm. Is she making stuff up? No. She says, I've heard the story as I sat in the synagogue and heard it week after week of the glory of God and who he is. Does she come up with something new? No, she's declaring the very thing that's inside of her. She's heard it. She heard her fathers and her forefathers tell the story of his faithfulness. And so she just says, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud, the imagination of their hearts. He's put down the mighty from their thrones. He has exalted the lowly. Is that something she's just coming up with, or is it because she's seen it? Yeah. Yep. She's heard of it. It's become truth for her. He has filled the hungry with good things. The rich he has sent away empty. He's helped the servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Something when she saw God move, something just had to boil out of her. And it wasn't just the thing at the moment, but it was God has always been faithful. He's always fed the hungry. He's always helped the lowly. That's just who he is. And what happens is Tehillah just sprouts forth. Because it's a part of who you are. It's what you've seen. It's what you've experienced. It's what you've heard about. And so spontaneity, this key aspect of this praise, ladies and gentlemen, it's not about the right words. We read these words and they're like, wow, we've quoted that. It's so poetic. But we've missed the fact that these are just everyday people. And we've looked at it as going, this is the word of God. But can I tell you, as the Spirit of God comes upon us, what's going to come is things are going to flow out of us because we've been filled with the power of his word. She just did what was going on and she just let it out. And that's spontaneity. That's this word that kind of sets itself others from the others. We may struggle here a little bit because this is unrehearsed. It's unscripted. How many of you know there's a time and a place for scripted and rehearsed? But there's also a place in these words, in the worship and the praise in the Old Testament that gives us this idea that it's unrehearsed, it's unscripted. There's just something that bubbles out of us. And that's what becomes kind of important. Ladies and gentlemen, in some ways, you know, we've allowed a little bit of what happens up here to take over of what we think worship is. And I think the heart of the pastor simply is, it grows into every part of your life. That it's supposed to be every part of our life. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not coming against what happens up on this stage on a Sunday morning. This is a part. But it's not all. And this part is a dimension of our lives that adds something to us that's very powerful. And this, if this is all you have in your worship with the Lord, it's not full. Maybe that's why we feel dead and we feel a little hopeless because it's just here. And then actually somebody else is leading us. But how many of you know when something's unscripted and unrehearsed, there's something freeing about that? Because it's between me and Him. And it's meant to just bubble forth. And I can sing in a store. Why can I do that? Because I know who He is. Mary didn't write this down beforehand. She saw what was going on in the moment. She saw what happened with Elizabeth. She all of a sudden put that together with what was going on in her, and all of a sudden it just bubbled forth. You couldn't hold it back. There's something that happens, and if we're not careful, we allow this to be it, and it actually pushes down and suppresses the fullness of all that we're meant to in worship and praise to God. Because I don't need an instrument anymore. I've got one. I'll show you mine in a few moments. Are you excited? No, I'm just kidding. You're like, hold back, hold back. I want to now go through some scripture today and just look at what it looks like and what it could develop into in the people of God and their examples. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. This will be one of the first times this word is actually used in the scriptures. It's when the children of Israel, many of you know, it's when the children of Israel have made it across the sea, and they saw their enemies broken. They are now a free and new people. And so I want to see what happens. What happens on the other side of the sea? They break out in song. Song and dance. They didn't, you know, collect everybody and go, here's what we're going to do right now. It just began to happen. It just came out of the people of God. They wanted to make famous the one that just set them free. I want you to note that again. They did not want to allow this moment of space and gap to think that it was anything in them that just had that happen. They wanted to make sure in that room, in that moment, that the one that did it got all the praise. It wasn't because of Moses, it wasn't because of their righteousness, it was because of Almighty. We'll just read a few verses. It says in verse 1, I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider has been thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my Yeshua, my salvation. He's my God. I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. Now, let's go down to verse 11. This is where tehillah comes out. The actual word tehillah is used. Listen to how it's used in this setting. They continue this whole song, and in verse 11 it says, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Now this is a big statement coming out from Egypt. They knew after those 400 and some years being in Egypt, 80 plus years of harsh labor, they knew what it was like to be enslaved to these other gods. Who is like you? Among the gods, who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Fearful in praises. Something happens. That word fearful in tehillah is the word there. What does that mean? It means as the people of God lift up the praises of God, there's an awe. There's a reverence that happens. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't just happen in those that hear you. It happens inside of you. And the singers at this point are saying, who is like you? There is none like you. There is none like you among. And you are actually in the praises of the people, in the tehillah, the lifting up the spontaneity of singing songs to God. It creates awe. How many of you know we could be using more awe and fear of the Lord in the presence of His people more than ever before? And the praises, spontaneity, lifting up God in those moments like that, the singers are actually saying, in these moments, there's awe that's produced. Ladies and gentlemen, there's power in tehillah because it produces awe. Why? Because there was once a rider and its horse, and now it's no more. There was once an enemy, and now it's gone. Great is your faithfulness, O God. Oh, who you are. What happens when we recount the goodness of God in those moments? What happens when we look back and say, God, look at what you've done? And the writer, the singers tell us there's this awe and reverence. So is the spontaneity of singing in the store good? Yeah. Because what happens is I'm declaring the good works of God, and that brings awe inside of me. Let's look at another one. This one is kind of interesting. It's a very much a messianic psalm. It's very much David pretty much prophesying, but you know, we think that it's probably happening to him as well. But we recognize Jesus is going to quote this on the cross. And so it's happening to Jesus as well. And so let's go to Psalm 22, if you would. We want to see also what the writer does here. Psalm 22. I want to know, what I'm trying to do as we look at these passages is note some of the things that happen in this style of worshiping the Lord. Psalm 22 says this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, am I not silent? And am not silent, but you are holy. How many of you ever been in that moment, that experience? God, it doesn't feel like you hear me. God, it doesn't feel like things are changing. God, I don't understand what's happening. It's a little rough. You ever have that kind of experience, or that's some other church? How many of you have had that experience? You've cried out to God. You thought, God, I don't know if you're hearing me. Nothing's changing. And God, why are you so far from me? In the night silence, it seems like it's even more silent. What's happening? But listen to what happens as he continues. It says, you are holy, but you are holy. You're enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and you were delivered. They trusted you and you were not ashamed. What did he just do? Now, the Bible says this, you're enthroned in the Tehillah of Israel. What did he just do? Now, he goes back and he says, I'm but a worm, all these things, but what did he just do in this moment? What did he just declare? What did you hear him declare? What is it? That he's great. What else? He's done great things. He's great. He's done great things. He's been faithful. He can be trusted. That he answers. I'm in this spot. But God, you're enthroned with the praises of Israel. Why? Because you've done great things. We've got a lot to thank you for. This word, you're enthroned in the Tehillah. Now, some of us have taken this, and you've probably heard it quoted, and all of a sudden we say in our worship services that we put him on the throne in our worship. That's not really what it means. It just means simply, when we tehillah, when we spontaneously break out, like in the middle of this moment, that puts him where he needs to be. Think about that for a moment. You're enthroned in these praises because in those praises, in that moment, you're put in that throne, you're put in that spot. Has he ever moved? No. But in the eyes and the hearts of the people, when you declare and you make him famous, bring light to what he's done, it puts him in that spot again. So not only do we see now an awesomeness and a fear and this wow, but it also, the writer is saying, when we break out in Tehillah, when we just show forth who you are and what you've done, your goodness and faithfulness, it places you in that highest place again. Yeah. And so the writer then says, you know, this is all going on, but the fact of the matter is, when we break out in praises to Almighty God, look at what it does. Look at what it does. Let's turn now to another very famous passage of Scripture. It comes out of Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61. Now, just so you know, just as you're kind of preparing your hearts before the Lord, I'll be asking you to do an elf thing today. I'm singing, and I'm in a church, and I'm singing. So just be ready for that. Isaiah chapter 61. And verse 1, Isaiah 61 and verse 1. Now you'll note who quotes this passage. He actually doesn't quote it. He actually is reading in the synagogue in Nazareth, and he declares that that's him. So let's read this with the idea that he says that he's the fulfillment of this. And listen to what the passage says in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is, the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison who are bound. That sounds like something to shout about. But it goes on, that's not it. He says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now, I just want to get out there right now in this moment that it says he will do this. Think about that for a moment. I'm going to do this. This person being sent is going, listen to what it says. He's going to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, hope. He's going to console. He's going to comfort. He's going to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, it's not you doing this. I don't have to find beauty in the ashes. He brings beauty in the ashes. He does it. Now, I want you to know what he also does. Listen to this part. It says this. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is the word tehillah. I'm going to give them a garment of tehillah. And that will take over. This word spirit is the word ruach of heaviness, this breath of heaviness, this whatever is going on in our soul. See, now, when you think about the spirit of heaviness, you have to recognize that's the deeper part, the inner side of us, the things that we struggle with and are bound with. He says, I'm going to replace that spirit, that breath of heaviness that's in you, and I'm going to place on you a garment of tehillah. See, he does it. So it's you already got the garment on, right? You don't have to work at it. You just have to recognize that it's already on you. And the spirit of heaviness isn't something that just stops, but he gives us the garment. We have to choose then just to bring it forth. Does that make sense to you this morning? Listen to what he does. I'm going to give you a garment that you'll be able to do this, and it will break the spirit of heaviness. I will replace that thing that's been a burden to you and a heavy and you feel it inside. But all I'm asking is make sure the garment stays on. So he replaces that. He has been sent to do that. He desires to have you doing that. And that's the exchange for us today. Moses adds to his final address to the children of Israel and shares how it can be done. In Deuteronomy, you can write this down. Deuteronomy 10:20 says this, you shall fear the Lord your God. You'll serve him and cling to him. You'll swear by his name. He is your praise. He is your tehillah. How is it? Because he sets that garment upon us. Remember, Moses is given the final address to the children of Israel before he's gone and before they enter into the promised land. And he's giving them kind of a review of the Torah, of what they've already received from the Lord. And he's reviewing that and he's saying, God is your tehillah. He is the one that you're meant to make famous in every situation, in every moment, to bring forth what he's done. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you've done nothing to get you to this spot to receive the promises. He's done it all. And remember, he is your tehillah. He is your praise. And he's your God who has done. Listen to how he follows it up. How will he be my tehillah? It's simply this. Who has done these great and awesome things for you, which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt, 70 in all. And now the Lord God has made you as numerous as the stars of heaven. Do you see the link again? What's the link? Have you noticed the pattern? Tehillah is linked with what he's already done. Always. Can Can I break it down a little bit more for us today? It's simply this. It is your personal testimony. How does tequila happen in our lives? I recognize what he's done. Is this moment not great? Maybe. Is this moment great? Maybe. But no matter what, we've been given an opportunity to spontaneously praise him. Why? Because this now moment doesn't change what's already been done in our life. This today can never rewrite our yesterdays. And so why is there power in this spontaneity of bringing light to this moment, of declaring him? It's because you are remembering what he's already done for you. And there's something powerful about that. And Moses, actually in his final address to the children of Israel, don't ever forget he's your praise. Why? Because remember, we were once bound and we've been set free. Remember, we were once serving other taskmasters and now we've been set free. God heard our cry and sent a deliverer. And you know what? He not only sent a deliverer, he broke the back of the enemy. It's got no power over us anymore. And now we're going on to the promises given to our forefathers. He is your praise. Why praise anyone else? He's done it. So tequila is linked to your testimony because nobody can ever take that away. How do I tequila? I know what he's done for me. I know where he found me. I know what he did to get into my heart and my soul. I know how he led me on my path. I know when I was lost and hopeless, he found me. I know he sent the right people at the right moment to the right time and began to break down my heart to see who he was. And when I gave my heart to him, I saw my life change and I've never been the same. I can shout. I can sing. Not that he could ever have to do one more thing, but he will. But even if he doesn't, I've got something to praise him for. Tahila is linked to your personal testimony. And I don't know about you, but when a lot of people start shouting about what God has already done, it changes the atmosphere of a room. I sat at the doctor's office this week, and I remember him saying this. And this is important. This is for an effect and my knee, so... I remember sitting there, and I had an incredible doctor. And God's been gracious to me with this surgery. And I had a wonderful nurse that really pushed me, whipped me, I think was the better word. Do your exercises. You want full mobility, you know, and all that. And God has been so gracious from this whole time. I went to the doctor 2 weeks in. I was way ahead. I already had a lot of my motion already 2 weeks in. And he just sat down with me and he said, and we just talked. We just, you know, finally after seeing him, I hadn't seen him since the day of surgery. And he said, man, I wish, you know, all my patients would just do what you're doing. He said, you're just so positive and this and that. And I'm like, well, you didn't see how many times I apologized to my wife and how many days I was in tears thinking my life has ended. But he just said this. He said, you know, there's something about family support and positivity and not being alone that people heal way faster. He said, there's so many people that get these surgeries and have no family support and they live in a camper and they don't get better. Isn't that crazy? I mean, we know that. But when the doctor's sitting across from you saying it, you recognize the power of support and the power, really, of your testimony in remembering who he is. Because I could say many times, God, you probably use better words than me. But I use words that just say, this situation isn't good. I've got other words.
Yeah.
But you've done so much for me. And that's the power. It's not that I want to give, and I hope you hear my heart today, I don't want to give this idea that praise is everything and praise is this power and weapon and all that. I want to be careful not to do that because it all of a sudden what you're going to do is you're going to hurt yourself. Why is that? Because if you think praise is like this weapon and it's just going to change things instantaneously, you'll not go back to praise. I know people quote this, and I know they say it. There's power in praise, and their praise is a weapon. But the problem is that could be overused. And if you're not careful, you'll stop doing it because you didn't have the results you had hoped for. Rather than just praising because he's worthy of it. Paul and Silas in the prison didn't praise God because they thought they were going to get out. I'll say that again. They didn't praise because they thought they were going to get out. They praised because in the book of Psalms, it says, I'll praise him at midnight. Exactly. Guess what time it was? Yeah. They were just following what their forefathers had done. And they were praising because you know why? They were thinking about all the good things God had ever done. And by chance, God had it purposed in his heart to set them free way before they were ever going to praise. Ladies and gentlemen, I would say, is there power in it? Of course. Is there something great about praise? Of course. I'm not taking that away. But what I'm saying is if you put that kind of pressure on it, you're doing it for all the wrong reasons rather than just doing it because of him. That's what I want to say to you this morning. Do it because he's worthy of it. Do it because he's already done it. We sing during Passover. We don't do this on very many seders just because of the time and people get uncomfortable. But there's a song that we sing during Passover many times. It's called Dayenu. Everyone say Dayenu. Shout it, Dayenu. And we sing it. Da da enu, da da enu, da da enu, Dayenu, Dayenu, Dayenu. The song is simply this. And if you went through all the chorus and all the verses, and it's been sung traditionally for years, it's simply this. God, if you would have brought me to the sea and left me there and never opened the sea, it would have been enough. Dayenu just simply means it's enough. If you would have brought me to Mount Sinai and never given me the law, it would have been enough. You're worthy. And they just continue to sing these verses. How many of you know if God did not do a single thing more for you, it's still enough? But how many of you know he will? But that's the power of Tchilah, is simply this. I'm not praising him for my now or future. I'm just praising him because he's been so good. And I hope he'll do more, and likely he will. But what happens is when I sing in spontaneity to the Lord like this, it just reminds me, man, he's done that every time. If that's the case, he's just going to do it again. And how many of you know that does bring light in? It does enthrone him. It does bring fear and awe because all of a sudden you go, wow, maybe I shouldn't complain. Because I realize that's against him. And I realize what I'm doing. And so as Moses finishes this, he's declaring again, remember, you were once 70. Now look around. You were once this way. How many of you know if you look at your situation right now, even in the midst of what's going on, you would look at your situation and say, God's done a lot. Yes. Yep. You look at where you've come, what you've come through, what you are today, you'd say, you know what, he's done a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's what Moses is trying to do. He is your praise because remember, you were once 70, now you're countless. Was Egypt great? No, but remember, you were once 70, and now he's fulfilled his word to you. Let's go to the New Testament and see if we can glean a little bit more. We're going to close this up. It comes from Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Look at that passage today. It's up on the screen. It says this, in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns. Some of those are rehearsed, but you'll note the spiritual songs. This is connecting with Tehillah, the spontaneous worshiping of the Lord. But I want you to know how the whole thing starts. I want to wrap this up in the sense that just so you don't think I'm lying about this today, you don't think I'm just throwing things together, I want you to note that Paul writes to the church at Colossae, and before he ever says that there'll be psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, what does he say? Let the word dwell in you richly. How many of you know what he's talking about is the Old Testament? He's saying, let the word, the stories, God's declaration of who he is, his revelation of who he is, the stories of our forefathers. Let that dwell in you richly so that when you come together, you're going to teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. Why? Because the word of God is dwelling in you richly. And then what's going to happen? When you come together, there's hymns and spiritual songs and thankfulness in your hearts to God. Why? Because it all started making sure that the word of God is dwelling in you richly. Spontaneity. And the power of tehillah comes with the idea, I know the word. I know what he's done. Not only do I see what he's done, but I've seen it in my own life. So I see it worldly in the whole world scheme of things, but then I see it individually of what he's working on, and then I've got something to say. Some of us aren't spontaneous in worshiping because we don't have the word of God richly dwelling in us. We aren't connecting. Ladies and gentlemen, if it's just about your life and you go, well, yeah, he kind of did this and kind of did that, it's going to be hard. If you haven't connected it with the full revelation, how many of you know the Word of God is a revelation of who he is? And you tie that all of a sudden now, that's dwelling in me richly, all of a sudden I'm walking along and I go, oh, wait a second. I know God and that's him right there. Glory to God in the highest. We miss him. See, the reason we don't sing in a store, I'm singing, is because he might be moving and you might be missing him because the word of God isn't richly dwelling in you. You don't know his attributes and he walks right past you and you miss him. Or something great happens in your life and you miss it because the word of God isn't dwelling in you richly. All of a sudden I connect that and I see him working in ways that I never imagined. And now I connect that, and I've got something to shout about. God, let it be so in our hearts. So this morning, my encouragement, it's got to start there. It's got to start in this idea that I'm going to sing these spiritual songs because I know the Word of God. I have it dwelling in me, and then I also know what he's done, and I won't let today take away my yesterdays. Let it be in you. Ladies and gentlemen, as soon as I tell you to be spontaneous in your worship, how many of you know that defeats the purpose? Think about that for a moment. Be spontaneous, go. Right? All I can do today, God, urge you by the definition of the word, we recognize that's something that whatever's going to do, and God, let me do it. Wherever I'm at, whatever's going on. Maybe when I'm alone, or maybe when I'm with my family, I'm just going to break out and thank him for what he's done. Thank him for where he's taken me and what's going on. And I'm encouraged today. First of all, I can't tell you to be spontaneous, but know it's be ready to be spontaneous. Good. Right? If I know that that's part, I can't be told it, but I recognize it. Second thing I recognize, that it is a song. I'm going to sing. Why sing? Because how many of you know you add a little note to it, it's fun. And if you want to add a little jig to it, that's even more fun. How many of you have ever just watched a video on YouTube or something with a bunch of people dancing and some good music, and you just smile? It just makes you, it's good, right? There's something about that that helps us. We're encouraged, secondly or thirdly, by the people that have gone before us. People that have seen worse days than ours, by the way, that are written down for our encouragement and our training. And finally, because we're not used to it, we have to just begin to retrain ourselves. We're not used to just doing this by ourselves. It feels a little awkward. It feels a little weird. Be like children again. How many of you know, I don't think a child ever has a hard time breaking out in song, right? Yeah. Takes practice. I want to finish with this. Could we pull up Psalms? It would just be easier to read this from the screen. Psalms 145 again. And we'll go starting in verse 17. And if you would you just stand with me this morning? I want to finish now. The latter part of Psalms, and we'll start in verse 17. I know I'm throwing this out here at you, I thought we could just read this together as now David is going to finish this tehillah, this spontaneity to the Lord and to what he's done, and I think it finishes for us well. 145. We'll start in 17 and go to the end. I think it goes to verse 21. So let's read this out loud together as we finish this idea of what David is doing as he sings this as a tehillah to the Lord. Let's just finish this psalm now. Let's read it out loud. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth. Stop right there. Look at that again. Look at what David is doing. The Lord is near. How many of you know sometimes we need to shout that out again, just spontaneous. The Lord is near to all who call on him. I'm calling to him. He's going to be near because that's what he does. To call on him in truth, that's what he does. And that's why this spontaneity is this declaration, even into our situation, even into this moment. And that's what David is doing. Let's continue now. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. Come on now, that's good shouting right there, right? Let's go on to the next verse. The Lord preserves all who love him. Come on, shout it out. But all the wicked he will destroy. Last verse. Verse 21, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. He adds the word tehillah in here for a reason. He says, my mouth will speak, it will spontaneously continue to combust the glory of God. Because I know what it does. So this morning, may we walk out of here empowered with praise, strengthened with the idea that if this is what it is, and this is a part of how God seed, and this is how the people of God that has gone before us did it, then it's for me too. And if it takes spontaneity and some singing, I'm just going to let it out, and I'm going to remember. Now, I don't know if the worship team had anything planned or anything, but I don't want to do that today. I just want to do this. I'm going to pray, and then I'm just going to let it be spontaneous in here for a few moments. I know I'm telling you to be a little spontaneous, but here's the thing. Some of you hate to do this in a setting like this. But can I tell you how simple it is? Because those that do this will be spontaneous. I'm not telling them to be spontaneous. Here's what I'm doing. I'm giving room for spontaneity. Right? And so today, can we finish by a little tehillah? Just declare, Lord, thanks for the food this week. Thanks for the food this week. I love the fried chicken. Yeah. Thank God for my broken down car that got me to work and back with a little extra duct tape. Right? What did the Lord do? What has he done? Can we just take some time? Just popcorn this thing all over this room. Just a few things. If you don't feel comfortable singing, you don't have to do it that way. Just shout it out. Can we bring the awe of God into this house this morning? Can we bring and enthrone him in this house this morning? Can we be encouraged this morning by your encouragement to the Lord? Because tehillah, remember, is just about singing hallels. Mm-hmm. It's about declaring who he is, to make famous the most important person in this room. So, Father, we just come in these moments and thank you for who you are. And so, Lord, we want to give space before we leave this house just to practice and even shout who you are. This is what our forefathers have done. This is what our heroes have done. Jesus himself did this. Mary, that little teenage girl, did this. Those that have been locked in prison did this. And so before we go, Lord, we just want to give some space to offer some tequila to you today. So Lord, thank you for making my knees stronger, for helping me heal and giving good doctors, God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for putting a new roof on my house, God.
Yes.
I didn't know where the funds would come from, but you knew.
Yes.
Thank God.
Yes. Hallelujah. You are the provider. Yes. Oh, God. Amen. 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 Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, God.
Whole earth is full of your glory.
Thank you, God. Yes, God. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you that you just call us to obey and you work out the details, God.
Yes, God.
Thank you that everything works.
God. Thank you, God.
There was a time that I was afraid, and you said all of my children would be taught by the Lord.
Mm.
And great would be the peace of my children.
Pray. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Blessed be your
name.
Yes. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Thank you, God. When everything was falling apart in the Middle East, over in Israel, you reminded me that
thank you, God.
You will show up and you will save the people gloriously.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God, for being in charge.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Holy. Yes. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, God. Blessed be your name. See, it's in these moments, I don't know if you felt it, but it's in this moment of this spontaneity and this declaring his works. Did you feel it? There's some strength and joy and hope because we just declared who he was. We just gave him the praise he's worthy of. Wasn't rehearsed and we had a list. We just allowed it to happen and gave some space. And God calls us to that as we leave this place. I remember early on when we started doing some traveling as kind of an evangelist, but I was doing some pastoring as well. We went out to this revival. I was a revival speaker and I was out on this camp. My daughter was really young at the time and she loves the outdoors. And she flew out of the bathroom that night. I mean, we were at this camp. It was, you know, kind of broken up, not, you know, you wondered what was in the bushes and, you know, those type of things. And just remember that night, she busted out the door and she just goes, "Man, I love my dad's job." And how many of you know that's Tahila? Yeah. Because she was praising God. That she got to experience those moments, knowing God had brought us to those moments. And that's what it is. It's just this thing that you just can't keep inside. And God just says, let it out. Just let it out. Because what happened in this moment is we brought awe to his name. We saw him enthroned. And it not only encouraged you in the Lord, but it encouraged others. And so, Father, thank you for all that you've done and all that you are. Let us be people of praise. Let us be people of tehillah. And God, we're going to take the garment you've placed upon us. And we're going to use it for your glory. And thank you. Thank you. In this house, we declare it once again, as Moses declared it over the children of Israel. We declare it now. People of God, Journey Church, he is your praise. May God bless you and keep you, Pastor.